Well, praise God as we meet together again this morning. What a wonderful spirit God is giving us in the service today. I want to thank you for your singing out. I want to thank you, Brother Mike, for the wonderful job you do with our choir and leading us in congregational singing. Amen. Good congregational singing. Amen. And Ms. Noel and Ms. Kay, and as they play the piano and organ, and then our choir. Thank you, choir, for your hard work, for your attention to detail. Thank you, dear brother, and being faithful here for practice. And I just want to put a plug in here for our choir. Listen, if you just have a voice that you'd like to use for the Lord, you may say, I don't have a good voice. That's all right. You can still use it for the Lord. The Lord will use anybody. Amen. And I trust that you will pray about just coming, showing up for choir practice. And every Sunday about 5 p.m., sometimes they meet at 4:45. But I'd love to see this choir loft right here full of just God's people singing out on these specials. And I trust you'll consider that in using your voice and heart for the Lord and His glory. Well, Romans chapter 7, would you find your place there? Romans chapter 7. It's been a while since we've been back in Romans. We've been going through our Sunday AM, have been around our theme on John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. And it's interesting how the Lord leads us in the Word of God and in our church, because this message this morning most definitely goes perfectly with that subject. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. I'll begin reading in verse number 14. Before I launch out in reading here, I do want to say this. These verses can be a little confusing just at face value, in other words, just reading it immediately. So don't let it intimidate you or discourage you. But I want to tell you, we're going to see the Apostle Paul, a man of God, just open up his heart to us in the next few verses. And he's gonna be very real with us. He's going to show us what's really in him, even as a believer, as a follower and servant of the Most High God. He's going to show us what's there in his life and what is in your life and my life. Let's begin reading. Verse 14, chapter 7 of the book of Romans. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a new law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of good after, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. In verse 1 of chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. With the Lord's help this morning, church, I want to preach a message to you entitled, The Conflict of the Two Natures. The conflict of the indwelling two natures that every believer has. You see, the subject of Romans chapters 6, 7, and 8, as we have learned and have studied, the subject is sanctification. Paul covered chapters 1 through 5 and dealt strictly with salvation, how a person is made righteous by faith in the blood of Jesus, that it was shed and that He died and was buried and rose again the third day. That is justification by faith. That's what salvation is. And he declares that so eloquently, and he brings up all the different objections that the religious crowd would have, the humanist crowd would have. Oh, all of them, all the objections, he was bringing them up and answering them what the Word of God declares. And then, after he moves from justification by faith, he moves into chapter 6, 7, and 8 and talks about how we are to grow as believers. God doesn't want you to remain stagnant during your Christian life here on earth. And it's possible. It is possible to remain a baby in the Lord and be saved for 30, 40, 50 years. It's very possible. But I don't think anybody wants to stay a baby in the Lord. We want to grow and, yes, enjoy the milk of God's Word, but we also want to grow and understand the meat of God's Word. Not just to understand it, but praise God, to live it. To live it. I know some people that can walk circles around me of understanding the Word of God, but one of the things I always look for in my professors, and I thank God I found it, men I looked towards and respected as I sat in my little desk and just fed off of them like a sponge. One thing that always stood out to me is when they were preaching, I also saw it present in their lives. They were not just teaching it, they were living it. They were growing. They had not arrived. But nevertheless, that is what we do. We grow in the Lord. And I believe that we are understanding the will of God for our lives as we desire to grow in Him. So understand that chapter 6 begins the teaching of sanctification. We studied that. I would title it like this. Chapter 6 is the concept of sanctification. Chapter 7 is the conflict of sanctification. And then chapter 8, which we will not get into this morning, but in the weeks ahead, I believe there we see the captain of our sanctification. The captain. The one who's in control of me being sanctified. And we know that in verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1, and the verse previous, we're going to see that Jesus Christ is the captain of our sanctification, and He has given us a glorious gift in the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who lives out the life of Christ in us. I'm thankful this morning. Oh, blessed be the name of God, that it is the Lord who lives out His life through me, and that it's not my power, but it's His power. God is desiring to teach us this daily. You see, when we define what good is, it's easy to be good. Would you agree to that? When you and I define what good is, it's usually easy to be good. But when we let God define what good is, and we get in the Word of God and we see what good is, we discover that we're not quite as good as we think we are. In fact, we realize how bad we are. I mean, let's just
be honest. We realize how real bad we are. Because the Lord gives us a standard by which to live by that we find in His Word, and He makes reference to the law, which I believe He's talking about the Mosaic law. I believe He's talking about those Ten Commandments that is a standard of holiness. And the law represents God Himself in the sense of the holy and high standard. And when we match ourselves up to that standard, we fall, woefully short. And that is what we find this man of God by the name of the Apostle Paul coming to the conclusion in his life in this passage. As he's growing in the Lord, he is realizing that, boy, he's got a bad heart. But it doesn't end that way. That's not the end of the story, thank God. Now, that is the end of the story for those that have not trusted Christ as their Savior. All they have is the one nature. That's the sinful nature. And no matter how good they make it look, it's still a sinful nature. You can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. And there's a lot of people out there in life today, and they're trying to pretty up for God without being born again. And God's saying the first step for you to be made righteous is to come to me with your sin and let me save you. Believe that I died for you and rose again the third day, and God will give you eternal life. He will make you righteous for all eternity, and He'll give you His Spirit that will be with you, that we'll see in just a moment, until the day you die. Or the rapture takes place. We see that Paul was thoroughly transparent with us. And I'm thankful he pulled back the curtains and showed us his heart, because it helps someone like me, a sinner, understand that I'm not the only one that struggles with sin. And as God's children, we look at a passage like this not to read and say, yeah, see, everybody struggles, it's okay. No, but it's to realize that this is not to be an example, but this is to be an inspiration, the fact that God gives the victory over sin. Paul found that victory, but I want to say this very quickly. He found it daily. I wish that we could just wake up and make one decision. Lord, I want to surrender, and I don't want to struggle with sin anymore while here on earth. I surrender all to you, Lord. I wish it was that way. It's not. It's a daily, moment by moment surrender of the heart to the Lord God. And the reason that is because God says, look, you still have a sin nature. Even after you get saved, it's still there, but you have a new nature. And that new nature does have the power through the Holy Spirit. You have the power and the victory to live out the life of Christ and to make an eternal difference in this lost and dying world. But there is a conflict. And it's a conflict that we need to recognize. It's good to look at our own heart and look at it and be sobered, quite frankly, on how bad it is. And I think the purpose that Paul is writing this is to drive every one of us to the foot of the cross. It's to drive us to Jesus, to long for Him more, to cling to Him more, to be in love with Him more. As the song we were singing together, to truly marvel in His forgiveness. As the brothers were singing just a moment ago, to realize that the Lord, just like Peter, just like Thomas, just like Barabbas, just like those ones, that's us. As we sang that song, as we think about the song where the people cried out to crucify Him, we don't like to think about that was my voice. That was Brinson Jennings' voice. That was my heart. Crucify Him! That's how bad my heart is. You see,
We got to understand what's going on inside. There's still an old nature there. But praise God, there's also a new nature for those that have been saved. And I want to tell you this morning before I move forward, if you're here today, I want to tell you, without Christ, you are among friends. And the Lord Jesus loves you with an infinite love. And it would be the best decision of your life to humble yourself before God and say, Lord, I've been putting it off long enough. I receive your gift of salvation by faith. And you become a child of God today. That'll be the best decision of your life. Good News Club on Wednesday, my heart was stirred. A young man that had been attending Good News Club for several years, but had never come forward, had never made a decision. It gives me chills thinking about it. When the invitation was given, usually we have a dozen or more kids that will come down, many of them. They're so precious. I love them to death. But sometimes they come, they say, you know, invitation for salvation, and some of them just will give some interesting statements. One of the first precious little girls, she said, I said, now why did you come back, honey? She said, pray for me, my fish died. I said, sweetheart, we will pray for you. And they come, they're so precious. And you know, I look at children like that, hey, I'm thankful they come every time. Wouldn't hurt my feelings a bit if they came to the invitation every time. Because it gives us an opportunity just to connect with their hearts. But then there are also some that you can tell God's dealing with. The Lord is speaking to their hearts. And this young man that came this day, I won't say his name, but he came and I could tell it immediately. I could tell it immediately that God was working in his heart. He was not looking around. I'm telling you, kids yelling, laughing, screaming, getting ready to play a game, getting ready to sing, whatever, noises, distractions. And he was locked in on me. And I said, buddy, why'd you come back? He said, I need to be saved. I said, buddy, you've come to the right place. I said, why do you want to be saved? And he said, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I want to go to heaven. I said, well, buddy, we'll take the Bible and show you. Would you like to do that now? And I always give them the option. I say, if you don't feel comfortable doing that right now, I said, you can think about it. We'll pray for you. He said, no, I'm ready. And we had one of our workers to take him and lead him to the Lord. He was ready. God was dealing with him. There may be somebody here today that way. God has just been working in your heart and you're ready. But now it's your time to make your decision. God will lead you. I don't know about y'all, but I like checklists. My daughter likes them more than I do. My oldest, Mary Ann, when we go on a trip, she loves, Daddy, can I make a list? Any other list makers here today? We got several of you. I make lists, but I don't follow them. But here's the thing. We make lists, especially when we're going on vacation, and especially when we're going camping. The worst thing to do is to get out camping and, you know, you forget something like, you know, your sleeping bag. I mean, that's just... You didn't get the sleeping bag. So we make these checklists and we go through them and check them off. And she's all about it. And there are times that we forget something. Most of the time, if we make the list and go through it thoroughly, we do usually remember everything as a blessing. But, you know, as I think about that checklist, you know, there are some things in life that I don't even need a checklist. Don't matter where I'm going. If I'm going to the store, if I'm going camping, if I'm going vacation, if I'm coming to church, it does not matter. There are two things that I know that I don't ever have to make a checklist for, whether or not they are with me. And that is, since I've been saved 20 years ago, I know for a fact I have two natures living in me. I have the sin nature that I was born with, also referred to as the flesh in the Bible. Or the old man. He's the sinful one. I'll give him a little description here in a minute. The second nature that I have is the one I received on my spiritual birthday. I was 21 years old and I came to know Jesus as my Savior. The second nature moved in. That's the Holy Spirit. I became a new creation. The Bible says any man being Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Behold, all things become new. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Those are the two natures. And since that day, I've had two natures, and they go with me everywhere I go. Now, as I mentioned earlier, some people think that when they get salvation, that they only have the new nature. But that's not true. The old nature is there, and there is a conflict going on every day of your life and my life. So the question is, with those two natures, how do I live out the Christian life with that old nature still being there? And that's what Paul's been teaching us in Romans 6, 7, and 8. You know what we ought to do? Just like we ran to the cross for salvation, we run to the cross for sanctification. Because Jesus died for us, we identify with His death. Remember, we died with Him in the likeness of His crucifixion. We were buried with Him in the likeness of His death. And we were raised with Him, in the likeness of His resurrection. You see, we identify with Jesus to grow in the Lord. My old man was crucified, but now I have a new life. And we talked about how we have a new boss. We talked about how we have a new law in our lives through the Spirit of God. In the next few moments, I just want to try to paint a picture that Paul is painting here. And I need the Lord's help. Would you pray with me? God, Lord, I just got a few minutes here. I pray that You would do the teaching. I pray the precious folks before me would not hear my voice, but I pray that they would hear Yours. And Lord Jesus, You would teach us Your Word through the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we need You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Number one, you have a sin nature, so do I. It's the power of the present indwelling sin. It's not going anywhere. Notice verses 14 of chapter 7. Verse 14 says, Paul says very clearly here, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now some would say, well, I believe this passage is talking about a lost person. Well, I disagree. Because I believe that as we understand Paul, he is talking about present. If you follow verse 14 and go to verse 25, you'll notice all the verbs are in the present tense. The ones before that were in the past tense when he was talking about his pre-conversion days. But he has transitioned now and he's talking about his life. There are some to say, well, this had to be at the beginning of Paul's life, the way he's struggling. That's very possible. But I believe, and I submit to you today, that I believe that this is a struggle that he would experience at different times in his life. I've been saved 20 years, and I often think to myself, oh my word, where did that come from? Anybody else have that experience? It's true. And Paul's saying, listen, I'm going to be honest with you here. This is a struggle, but he said, this is the thing. You don't live stuck in that struggle. Don't live stuck in that struggle. Let the struggle be there, but come out on top to the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the lesson we have here. It says in verse 14, we saw that I am carnal. That means I am of the flesh. He's not in the flesh. Notice it in chapter 7, verse 5. If you go up there, there's a difference between being of the flesh and in the flesh. Verse 5 are his pre-conversion days. And we notice verse 5 says, for when we were what? In the flesh, when he was lost and without God, he was in the flesh. But when we talk about I am carnal, he's talking about of the flesh, sold under sin. Now, what does that mean? That simply means that he is bound with that sin nature until the day he dies or the rapture takes place. There are some people that say, you know what? I hadn't sinned in years. They just sinned. People just can't say that. It's not possible. Every day there is a struggle. And that's for the believer. And by the way, in case I missed this point, it's so important. Do you know, and I know this may not sound encouraging, but if you follow the end of the understanding of this truth, this doctrine, it's encouraging. But do you know, the more you grow in the Lord, the more you struggle with sin? That's right. But you know why? you get more tender. You get more sensitive to the holiness of God and honoring and glorifying Him. You run to the cross more to bathe in that forgiveness and grace. You don't use it as a license, but you know that it's there freely, like an overflowing river. I come to my God and I realize, Lord, I just want to be right with You. You know my heart today. You know that thought. You know this habit. And I don't want to be stuck in it, Lord. That's not what I want my life to be about. But You know it's there, Lord. God, I come to You. It's there. Verse 17, notice it says that, Paul says, now then it is no more that, more I that do it, but notice he says, but sin that what? Dwelleth in me. It's the dwelling place of sin. It's very often you can't get away from it. When we were in Niger, back in 2012 to 2015, we served in the Sahara Desert. And one of the things that you would not get rid of, I don't care who you were, what you were doing, you could take prophylaxis, you could use netting, and you could do all these different things. But one thing you would not escape from is the annoying and dangerous mosquito. In fact, Thomas, who's 9 now, he was prior 2 years old. He had malaria 3 times. High fever. We were so concerned about his little body several times. Laying there helpless, and there's nothing we could do but give him the medicine. And just that was Tylenol to bring the fever down. That's all you can do. And pray that God would be merciful. But those mosquitoes were everywhere. You could put up the net, and boy, it didn't matter. You could steer here in the middle of the night. Can't get rid of them. Spray the house. They could say spray the. That some of those Nigerians wanted to come and say, we have a certain spray that we can put out in your yard. I said, no, thank you. I think people were turning green after they did some of that. But I will say this. They were always present. And as much as I hate them and hated them, we had to learn to deal with them. And one of the things that I know for a fact here this morning, as we walk through the Christian life, that old nature is always going to be there. But we have to learn to deal with him. Because there is a way that he can lose his power. In fact, there is a way he lost his power. Because remember, when Jesus died on the cross and he rose again the third day, he overcame the penalty of sin. And we understand in sanctification, he overcame the power of sin. He overcame it. And so when we identify with our Lord through the Holy Spirit, we understand that we can overcome him even though he is there. Now, verse 17, as we have seen in other verses, talk about in verse 15, it says, for which I do, I allow not. And basically, he has a hard time, that phrase means he has a hard time understanding it, grasping it, why this sin nature is still there, and why it just seems so alive in the times of my life. He says, when I seek to do good, in verse 19, what did he say? He said, evil is present with me. That's verse 21, excuse me. He says, when I'm trying to do good, he says, evil is present with me. It was just one of those situations he had to face. Verse 18, notice with me, we understand another thing about this sin nature is that it has no goodness, as I mentioned earlier. Paul admitted this. Look at it. He just lets us look at his heart. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Isn't that what it says, church? That's your nature. Old nature. That's mine. I want to tell you, that old nature doesn't have a good resume at all. Let me just give you a little description here. The old nature. We could fill pages up with this, but this is what the Lord brought to my mind. That old nature, he's selfish, lazy, prideful, jealous, envious, lustful, and insecure. He's easily offended and holds grudges. He worries all the time. He loves himself more than he loves others and only loves others if they love him back. He loves the praise of men. He doesn't mind serving as long as it involves some type of recognition or compensation. He doesn't like being told what to do. He loves comfort and convenience and despises discipline of the body and mind. He lives a life of constant entitlement. And the good he does is to make himself feel better about himself. He's never content. He is only pleased when he is pleasing himself. He doesn't like to be corrected or rebuked. He resents correction and warning. He doesn't need anybody telling him what he can or cannot do. He is great judging others' wrongs, but a poor judge of his own. He smiles, but it is only when things are going his way. He gives, but it is only when it really doesn't cost him anything. He is religious, but only on the outside. He doesn't mind talking the talk, but don't expect him to walk the walk. His focus is more about protecting his image than being changed into his image. The man I have briefly described to each of you this morning lives in me. Right here, right now, that man lives in me. He came to church with me this morning. Does that make you feel good about your pastor? He also came with you. He's in you right now. And that was just a brief description. There's so much more. But I just jotted some things down that I see that old man in me wanting to do so much. You see, you understand now Paul's struggle. When he got to the end of that verse that we saw together in verse number 24, he basically said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." With a big question mark. "Oh, wretched man that I am." But he didn't end with that, thank God. He's going to answer his own question. And the answer to his own question is found in verse 25. And before I give that answer, notice with me, he says, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He's not talking about his physical body. There's nothing sinful about your eyes this morning. Nothing sinful about your ears or your hands or your feet. There's nothing sinful about your brain. There is nothing sinful about those things. That's the body God has given you. But what is sinful is the sinful nature that controls those things. And that's what Paul is saying. I don't want this wretchedness to be in control. Who's going to rescue me? Who's going to deliver me from this body, as he describes it, this body of sin? He's saying, "Who shall rescue me from the body of this death?" And he gives the glorious answer. Yeah, thank God. Through who? Jesus Christ is the rescuer. He is the deliverer. He is the one that's come to save, not just from the penalty of sin. He has come to save you and me from the power of sin. I want to tell you today, there's not a person in here that needs to be addicted to anything. Jesus has come to deliver us from the power of it. He will forgive you of that habitual sin. He will cleanse you. No matter how many times you come to Him, He will seek to restore you and me. He will give us the victory every single day. And what will happen is the Holy Spirit will be the one in control. And all those descriptions that I gave, it's going to be the opposite with the Holy Spirit. I'll be selfless. You'll be selfless. The new nature is hard worker. The new nature is humble. The new nature is happy for people that succeed. The new nature is content and secure in Christ. The new nature is not easily offended, but actually is great at forgiving. The new nature doesn't worry. The new nature isn't anxious. The new nature does not look for the praise of men. Look, the new nature serves no matter whether there's recognition or compensation. The new nature doesn't mind some discomfort and inconvenience as long as God is glorified. The new nature doesn't expect anything, but gives himself for the sake of others and the honor of Christ. You see, the new nature is harder on his own heart than he is on others. The new nature gives, expecting nothing in return. The new nature is not set on being religious. He's set on being transformed in the heart, even if it means being found out, being humbled and being restored and reconciled to God. You see, the new nature is not worried about putting forth an image. It's about being transformed to His image. That's the new nature. And that comes through the Holy Spirit of God, us yielding to Him, as we saw in chapter 6. We are to know that we've been delivered. Then we ought to reckon ourselves, compute it. It's done. God says it. It's true. We can have victory. For sin shall not have dominion over you. And then we understand, we yield. We yield to the Lord. We present. That word yield is I present myself to Him. And I do that daily. God, take me and use me and fill me for Your glory. You see, that old nature's in there. He's like a cancer in my body that will never go away. But get this, please understand this. However, it is up to me whether this old nature is benign or malignant. Because the Bible says, reckon yourselves indeed dead. Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Christ. And that old man can be there, but praise God, we need to remember that he's fired. He doesn't have any more authority in my life, and I can reckon him dead and benign. I can reckon him ineffective. I can reckon him being inactive. Suppress and yield to the new nature, the new boss in my life, Jesus Christ, and allow Him to be the governor and the captain and to lead me in a way that will bring glory to Jesus. That's the desire of God, that new nature that He's given us. What about you today? What about me? Notice with me in closing, verse 23. He says, I delight in the law of God in verse 22 after the inward man. That's another token, evidence of his salvation. He's a saved man. Lost men do not delight in the law of God after the inward man. But verse 23, he says, but I see another law in my members. Notice this next phrase. Warring against the law of my mind. That's war. And that's the conflict. And notice what it says. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Can I break that down to you for a moment? It's saying that old nature is taking a lot of believers as prisoners of war. Captive is that term, prisoners of war. And there are believers in this life today, God's children, who are saved and they know it. They've trusted in the gospel and they have that security. But you know what? Because of them yielding to that old nature and allowing that old nature to govern them, do you know they're actually prisoners of war? And there needs to be a jailbreak. There needs to be a prison break. Who's going to do it? Who's going to set us free? Who's going to come and drop the chains off and unlock the doors? His name is Jesus. That's who's going to do it. Jesus has come to set us free. And we don't have to stay in that prison cell with that old nature in charge of me. He's fired. He was fired the day I got born again. And I want to tell you, brethren, the conflict is real and it rages every day. But you can determine that you're not going to get locked up. You can determine, Lord, I want to be free today. I want to live in liberty because that's what Jesus Christ has given me. What does the Word of God say about freedom? The Son, the Lord Jesus, shall make you free, set you free, and ye shall be what? Free indeed! Free! Free from that old nature. He's still there and I'm going to fight him every day. Fought him this morning. You did too. You'll fight him leaving here. Something will come up. That old nature, you'll sense it. Kind of, it's kind of like that. I hope my neighbor's not watching. I love them to death, but they got a dog that barks all the time, and I can't say anything because I got a dog that barks a lot too. But this particular one, I'm just not going to go into detail here. But this one barks a lot, and it's like a boy. But sometimes gets it stirred or whatnot. I'm sure it's a nice dog. Okay, I'm not going into all that. But that reminds me of something. That old man, he's barking all the time, trying to get his way. You know what God's people need to do? Let the captain set you free and silence that dog, because he don't have any authority in the Christian's life. Now, if you're lost here today, I'm just telling you some bad news so you can get to the good news. The bad news is you are stuck and there's nothing you can do to get out of it. You are in bondage and there is no freedom in your life. Only when you come to Calvary will God set you free. And you will be free indeed. A prison break. Paul answers us. And when, as we get into chapter 8, we understand there is no condemnation to them. Notice verse 1 of chapter 8, which are in Christ Jesus, or in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. There's that old man. But after what? The Spirit. Now in closing, look at verse 9. Notice this. This is the last verse I'll share this morning. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but what? In the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. That's your new nature. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you're not a child of God. Because that only comes with those that have been saved. I know this morning I speak to people that are just like me, that are just like Paul. We struggle. But I want to tell you, if this is any comfort to you, there is a such thing as a healthy struggle. A needed struggle. As we grow in the Lord, as we repent and come to God and let Him cleanse us and renew us, we find that the new nature is much more productive for the glory of Christ. And we don't want to walk through life as some of the cruel kings did to their subjects, to their captives. Where they would chain a corpse to the live inmate until that inmate died as well. That's a cruel punishment, a cruel way to die. And I don't want to go through life feeling like I'm chained to an old man that needs to be dead. Because I've been set free. I've been set free. If you know the Lord, you've been set free. You walk out of here sensing that liberty today. But you can only do it when you have repented of any known sin in your life that the Holy Spirit has brought to your mind during this message and saying, Lord, I don't want to be a prisoner of war anymore. If you're here today and you need the Lord, we'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. All you need to do is take that step and we'd meet you down here with an open Bible, show you how you can go to heaven. In just a few days, we're going to be entering into our winter revival. And the evangelist is going to come and preach the Word of God with authority. And I want to tell you, it's going to be a great help to our new nature. It's going to do some damage to our old nature. But that's good. So when He comes, may He show up in this church with all of us realizing we come wanting to feed the new nature. Yield to the new nature. The great conflict. God is able. I have the Holy Spirit. And as we look at chapter 8, we will see how sweet it is to live the life of the Spirit-filled believer. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please?